Who says church isn't fun? Which, by the way, it's nice to have Larry back visiting with us today. He must car must have turned the wrong direction and headed down here. You ended up in the right place. No, good to see you here today, and always good to see. Take this the right way, old friends. Not friends who are old, just, yeah, you know what I mean. Okay, I better be quiet before I get in trouble. Oh, too late. Anyhow, but we're going to play a little game this morning, and there is a prize involved if we have more than one winner. I guess I've got some jelly beans in my office I can share with you, or candy downstairs, but the winner this morning gets an Oreo egg. If you're diabetic, share it with a grandkid that you want to spoil and send home to be hyper. There you go. We're going to try and match these various people with his or her reported last words and see how you do here. All right, I think we got our first slide ready to go. Number one. And what I want you to do is, these should have been in your bulletin, like number one, if you think the person who said this was Todd Beamer, put a one there. These are numbered 1 through 10. And we'll see how you do. So, a life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved except in memory.
Can I ask who Todd Beamer is?
Pardon?
Can I ask who Todd Beamer is? I don't know who he is.
You can phone him later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It may come to you when you see something a little bit later on. Number two, and this one I will give you a little bit of hint for. This was this person's response when asked at, and I'll give you a hint, his deathbed. I guess these are all guys, aren't they? They are all guys. Sorry about that. Wasn't intending to be. It's just the quotes I found. Would you want me to pray to commend your soul to God? And this person's response is, why not? After all, it belongs to him. Number three, money can't buy life. Number four, are you guys ready? Let's roll. Number five, last words are for fools who haven't said enough. Number six, die, my dear? Why, that's the last thing I'll do. Number seven, Lord, help my poor soul. Number eight, tomorrow I shall no longer be here. Number nine, oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. I was tempted to see how many nerds we had to do the famous last words of Captain Kirk from Star Trek. His famous last words were, oh my. But anyhow. And then number 10, hopefully this is the easy one in the group. I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of Truth. Well, I didn't say it was an easy game. All right, well, here's your answers. Todd Beamer, number four. Are you guys ready? Let's roll. He was one of those from one of the flights that ended up crashing in Pennsylvania on 9/11. Number to Charlie Chaplin. Why not, after all, it belongs to him? Number three was Bob Marley. Somebody asked me, I don't know who saw this, but somebody asked me, is this the Dickens character or is there really a Bob Marley? I think this is the singer. Okay, number four was Todd Beamer. Number five, Karl Marx. I guess he felt like he had said enough. Number six, Groucho Marx. And if you're old enough to remember watching Groucho Marx, you could probably see him with a cigar in his hand and the eyebrows twitching, going, die, my dear, that's the last thing I'll do. There you go. See? Number seven was Edgar Allan Poe. Lord, help my poor soul. Number eight was Nostradamus, which kind of his last prediction, tomorrow I will no longer be here. Number nine was Steve Jobs. And of course, number 10 was Jesus. Like I say, hopefully, so how many got at least five right? How many did you get right?
Me?
Yeah.
Seven.
Wow.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Too far away.
All right. Now, little different way to think about last words. Now, what we're going to talk about this week and next week as well, as we're moving up towards Easter, are these technically weren't Jesus's last words that we're going to be looking at, but these are two things that Jesus said and did in this last week, what we call Holy Week, leading up to the crucifixion, his burial, and then resurrection. And I think they're important for us because when Jesus is getting ready to go away and he's having these last talks with his disciples, these were some of the things that were very important, that were on his heart. It's kind of like, and when I'm gone, you need to keep this in mind. So while not technically last words, they do show us what Jesus' focus was. And today I want us to explore what Jesus had to say about the role of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers, that we can rejoice in the promise of the Holy Spirit's being poured out, and that we can better learn to live by the Spirit so that we bear his fruit and manifest his gifts among us. So turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, we're going to begin reading with verse 15. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will see me no longer, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. that work of the Spirit in the lives of believers. Here, among the last things he talked to his disciples about and tried to teach them was the necessity of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of those who are going to be followers of Jesus. And I think one of the first things that we need to take to heart here is that the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not just simply a badge or an award. I know in the early days when I first became a Christian, I used to hear the phrase a lot, you know, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was almost like people would put those, you know, you go to somebody's house and they've got their awards up on their mantle. And it's kind of like, look what I accomplished. And it doesn't, you know, occasionally they dust them off or think about them. That's not what the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is. It's supposed to be part of that loving relationship that we have with Jesus that is expressed through our obedience to him, because the Spirit of God is at work within us. And did you notice there, as Jesus is talking, that twice in these verses, he speaks about how obedience is the evidence of our love for him. It's one of those things that, you know, even early in his gospel, Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. I could tell you I'm a fisherman, but if you go to my house, you will not find any fishing poles. I don't have any magazines on fishing. I don't have any mounted fish, though at one time I did want to get one of them Bob the Fish things. You remember those, you know, take me to the river, or that would sing, scare people when they walked in the house. Anyway, you know, that's about as, I never did buy one because they were too expensive. If you were to look for evidence that I am a fisherman, it would sadly not be there. Or in my case, gladly not be there. I don't enjoy fishing. But I know I could go to some of y'all's houses and I'm going to find fishing poles and fishing tackle and mounted, you know, bass from your mountain trout expedition to Colorado, and you're going to have pictures of out on the internet on Facebook, look at the fish I caught. In my case, it would probably be about yay big. But I caught a fish. You know, or as I had one friend do when we went out to Seattle on a business trip, he goes, I want to tell my friends I caught a fish while I was here. So we were at the fish market there in Seattle, and he had the guy throw the fish to him so he could say he caught a fish. That's me. If we say that we're a follower of Jesus, but we don't do what he commands, and we say that we love him, but we don't live in obedience to him, I'm not the one being judgmental here, but Jesus himself said, if you say you love me, you're going to live in obedience to me. So this thing about the Holy Spirit, when God sends the Holy Spirit to us, it's because we do love him, and it's a matter of our obeying him, and the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us to partner with us so that we can better express our love to Jesus through obedience to him and service to him, and that our lives will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which really is the character of Jesus. Why would God put the Holy Spirit in someone who isn't even showing their love for Jesus by obedience to him? In a sense, it would be kind of like, why would you give me a fishing pole? I'm not going to use it. But this relationship between obedience to the Lord and the presence of the Spirit in our lives, I think we cannot miss that, or else the Holy Spirit becomes a trophy on our mantle, which is not what the Lord desires. Well, because of our relationship with God, that loving relationship we have with God, with Jesus, the Father sends the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be in us. Jesus called him the Advocate. The King James translated this as Comforter. The Greek word is Paraclete. Don't confuse that with the bird, the parakeet. Paraclete. The basic meaning of this word is one that pleads the case of another. It's also translated as helper or intercessor, As Jesus was getting ready to return to heaven after his death and resurrection, he said the Holy Spirit would be sent by the Father. It's the promise of the Father. And the Spirit would come to aid believers as Jesus had when he lived among them. Jesus knew he was going back to heaven. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he's ascended, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. The book of Hebrews tells us that as he's there, he serves as our faithful high priest, interceding to God on our behalf. That because of what he has done, that he has suffered like we can, he is a compassionate high priest who knows the feelings of our infirmities, and we can come to him to find grace and help in time of need. Because he has gone to serve as our intercessor. Since, in a sense, he isn't with us all the time, like he, you know, just like me, I can't be with all of you every moment of every day. Jesus understood that. So he, when he knew it was time for him to go back to heaven, he asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is everywhere at the same time, able to be not only with us, but as we learn from the rest of Scripture, and even Jesus says here in his teaching that the Holy Spirit's with you, but soon will be in you. Praise God for the presence of the Spirit in our lives. Well, one of the things the Spirit does is that he guides believers into truth. He helps us to recognize truth, particularly in the spirit realm, that unbelievers simply can't grasp. That's why so often it is a matter of faith. And we understand things because we look at them differently, because the Spirit of God reveals to us truth and reveals to us God's viewpoint on things that is different from the world's viewpoint. Paul spelled this out very clearly in his first letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 14. Says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds like foolishness to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. There's an old expression I learned in my early days as a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've used it. I know that I know that I know. And it was kind of this way when people would, how do you accept these things? I know that I know that I know because I've put God's word to the test. God's proven to be true every single time. I've learned that I can trust what he's revealed to us by his Spirit through his word. I mean, you think about it. How can you explain to someone who has not had that experience with God, known the love of God, had the Spirit come dwell in them, how do you truly explain to them that peace that passes understanding? How we can take a passage like Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known. The Lord is at hand, that hope that we have that gives us peace and patience. Don't be anxious about anything, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do you explain to someone who's never experienced that loving care of the Father, whom God has time and time again shown that I may not like the circumstances I'm in, I may not understand the circumstances I'm in, but I know God reigns in me. I am his child. He is working in my life. And somehow, some way, God is going to use this for his good and for his glory. Romans 8:28 is one of those verses that we cling to as believers because we understand it. It's a spiritual truth that God works all things together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. I love to go back to the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. He wasn't perfect, but I mean, I've never had my brothers sell me and hate me so much that they wanted to kill me, but instead sold me as a slave. And while I'm doing the best I can to do my work, get falsely accused of rape and end up in the king's prison, where I help some guys out, and the one that gets promoted doesn't even bother to remember me or thank me in any way or say, hey, there's this dude here that helped me, that he really didn't do anything wrong. He shouldn't be there. Yet Joseph just keeps doing what he knows is right in God's sight, keeps staying faithful to the Lord until that day when God opens the door that and brings him to the place that he prepared him for, when he's able to tell Pharaoh, hey, this is what God's shown you. This is what you need to do. And God raises him up through Pharaoh to become second in command of Egypt. And when it's all said and done, he's able to look at his brothers. And he goes, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. I'm not holding this against you. Somehow, through all this, God was at work in my life, not just to bless me, but to put me in a place where he could use me for good. That's that peace that passes understanding. That's that sense that comes from the Holy Spirit, what He teaches us, that truth that we can hold on to, that doesn't make sense to the world. But it makes sense to us because we have the Spirit within us. You know, we used to sing that chorus, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. That ability that because we understand from the Spirit of truth reality that we are able to focus on glorious things that cannot be seen and know that they vastly outweigh our present troubles. All these things are that gift of the Spirit as the Spirit of truth who makes these things known to us. It's why we give of our time and our talents and our resources to advance the kingdom of God, which is visible only in the hearts and lives of those who know Him as King. It's not about the buildings. I mean, I thank God for the buildings, but they're tools. But the church is not the building. The church, the kingdom of God, is us in whom God lives by His Spirit and rules and reigns in our lives and through us influences the world. The building doesn't influence people. But us who are the true church, the body of Christ, as we scatter out of here every Sunday and touch lives of people around us and that we interact with every day, that's how the kingdom of God advances. Now again, don't get me wrong. I thank God for this. It's a wonderful property. It's a wonderful tool God has given us. We need to take care of it. We need to cherish it. But folks, if something were to happen and this place were to be gone, we would still be the church. We could still serve the Lord. We'd have to be really creative about where we meet and what we do. But you realize that there are places around our world that brothers and sisters like us are meeting underneath a tree. Or maybe, you know, they just gather together wherever they can. We are the church. Hallelujah. These things we are able to hold on to and so focus our lives and live our lives and make the choices we make because these are spiritual truths that we have grasped because our minds have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of truth. I want to take you to the next passage where Jesus in John talks about the Spirit. This is John 15, verses 26 and 27. And here we learn that the Spirit testifies about Jesus. Jesus said this, but I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Jesus had just been speaking about how the world hated Jesus and would also hate those who follow him. This is the world Jesus is sending us as his believers into to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. What they needed to understand was that they would not be alone in this work, that the Holy Spirit would come alongside them to aid them and to empower them for the mission that Jesus had given him. After his resurrection, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." See, we have been made for more than just simply to sit around and worship God. That's part of what we do. We worship God. It's the exaltation of Jesus, worshiping him for what he does. That's just one side of our life as believers and followers of Jesus. We're also called upon to be those who testify about him, and the Spirit works with us as we do that work. We read in Luke's gospel of how Jesus gave the believers further guidance in this matter when he met with them after his resurrection. Luke 24, beginning at verse 44. Then Jesus said, "When I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message must be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills your heart with power from heaven." Now, Luke, who not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, he also wrote the book of Acts. He opens the book of Acts with Jesus' instructions to the believers to remain in Jerusalem until they received the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, it's one of our verses. If you haven't memorized it, it's a good one to hide in your heart. And he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, the work of the Holy Spirit is not only in us to conform us to the image of Jesus and to transform our lives so that the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus, is shown in us. The work of the Spirit in us is also to empower us to testify to the world about their need of Jesus. John 16, Jesus' teaching about this, says this, "And when he comes, the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." That's what Jesus made possible by his death, burial, and resurrection. That if we believe in him, that righteousness is available to us. Because of that work, because he is defeated by his death, burial, and resurrection, Satan. One of my favorite verses from Revelation, there's a lot of things in there I don't understand, but I like 1:17 where Jesus said, "I am he who was, who is, and is to come. I was dead and I'm alive, and behold, I live forevermore, and I have the keys to death and to hell." He came to defeat Satan and to open the way where people could be forgiven of their sins and come into right relationship with God. And see, it's the Spirit who does the work. It's the Spirit who anoints those who proclaim the word. It's the Spirit that confirms that word, the gospel, with displays of supernatural power. He draws those who hear to faith in Christ. No one can come to the Lord unless the Spirit draws him. It's to those who, when we do believe, he brings an inner witness to those who put their faith in Jesus that they have been forgiven and are children of God. Thank God for that we can know. It's not just a guessing game. We really can know because the witness of the Spirit in our hearts that we are the children of God. And he continues working in us and believers, transforming us from the inside out, and he empowers us that we can be witnesses of Jesus to others, just as someone was a witness to us. It is kind of surprising at times. I don't know, maybe it isn't surprising. How hard is it sometimes, though, to try and talk to people about Jesus? We can talk about the weather. We can talk about how Iowa won their first round basketball game yesterday in the NCAA tournament. It's easy to talk about a lot of things, but somehow it seems so hard for us to talk about Jesus. The one thing that really, really matters, and I'm not up here saying, yes, I talked to 20 people last week. I'm just like you guys. Usually where my chance to talk about people is, especially ones that I don't know real well or get to meet, is, so what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor up at Friendship Assembly. Oh. And usually I can tell by their reaction of, oh, okay, well, I can talk about the things of the Lord with this person. They're at least open to listen to me, or it's like, ooh, I can't get away from this guy fast enough. What's really fun is when you're out golfing and somebody's hit a bad shot and said something they shouldn't say, and then they ask you, oh, by the way, what do you do? Oh, I'm the pastor. And they look at you and apologize and said, why are you apologizing to me? Apologize to him. He's the one who heard it. maybe have a little too much fun with that. But boy, it does seem hard at times, and yet this is the very thing, one of the very reasons why God sends us His Spirit is that we could have the power to talk to people and to testify about Jesus. Now, it may be that part of it is our expectation, or our hope is, or we wished it was as simple as, do you know Jesus? No. Well, let me introduce you to Him. Oh, wonderful! And that everybody, the first time you mention the name of Jesus, oh, I need to accept Jesus into my heart. Pray with me right now. Doesn't happen that way very often, does it? Sometimes. See, when the Spirit of God has been at work in their hearts, it is amazing to hear people who share the testimony that they were so desperate that they called out to God, God, send somebody my way to talk to me if you're real. And then about that time, you knock on the door. Those things do happen, folks. But most of the time, it's a matter of that repeated sharing about Jesus. Those who study these things tell us that the average person hears about Jesus about usually 7 times before they make that decision to receive Him as their Savior and Lord. We take a while to process stuff, so don't ram it down their throats. How many of you ever heard that? Oh, you're just trying to ram Jesus down my throat. You know, don't do that, but don't be shy about talking about Him. Because, you know, it's interesting, what is interesting to me is so often the very people that they hear you're a Christian and they'll give you a bad time about it. I know Kelly's had this happen so many times in her work career, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, and they'll be kind of snotty to her and all this, but all of a sudden something happens in their family. And she's the one that they go find and say, this happened, can you pray for me? Can you pray for my family? Why? Because she didn't hide the fact that she's a follower of Jesus. She didn't beat him over the head with it, but when the opportunities came, she talked about Jesus. And a lot of times what's amazing to me is the Holy Spirit really does help us. He really does. I shouldn't be amazed because it's God, and He knows all things, but those times when we've had those divine appointments, and you start sharing with people, and it's like you hear yourself saying stuff, or a scripture verse you maybe haven't read in a couple years pops in your head, and you share that with them, and, oh, that's just what I needed to hear. See, that's the Holy Spirit working with us. You know, bare my soul here a little bit. I really debated on about, it's in my notes, but then I wondered about sharing this. In this day and age, with all the technology and all the tools we have, I'm glad they're there. But have we gotten to the place where we're expecting a Facebook post, no, nothing against Facebook here, to do our work for us? You know, we look and we're going, we need to reach people. But is a Facebook post going to do that? Is a fancy sign going to do that? Probably not. It may prime the pump a little bit. But what if in this next year, each one of us won one person to the Lord? You know, 30 to 60. And the next year, each of those won a person to the Lord, 60 to 120. We'd be scrambling trying to figure out, what are we going to do with all these people? We need chairs. We need more chairs. I don't think the secret of church growth is that much of a secret. It's just us talking to the people that God brings into our lives that we encounter about Him. And if they don't respond the first time, you don't write them off. And when they do respond, you don't treat them like a notch on your belt. Old, I guess, Western expression or something. Oh, okay, you know, you wouldn't have a baby and leave a baby. Okay, well, you became a baby. Good luck. Reach them and then be the one that will say, I'll be responsible to help nurture you in the things of God. Come with me to a place where you're going to find others who can help you grow in the things of the Lord. You know, if that happens, we're going to need more people to step up and teach children. We're going to need more people to step up and work with youth. We're going to need more people who will help with visitation. But that's the beauty of it, is God puts us in the body and gives us gifts and abilities to do those sort of things. Not everybody's called to stand up here and preach or sing. We need some folks. But there's also folks out there that need to be greeters that have that gift. Somebody walks through the door and you have that ability to make them feel like you've known them their entire lives and that they're just so welcome. And wow, oh, yeah, you've got kids. Let me show you where the kids, your kids will go. And it's just like, wow. You know, that's where they do the little review on Facebook. Really friendly place. We'll need all those kind of people to step up and do the things that God's gifted you to do. The work of the Spirit in our lives, to lead us, to guide us, to show us what truth is, to hold on to those things and not surrender them to the pressures of this world. And believe it or not, we're getting a lot of pressure at this point, and it's probably going to get worse. I don't say that to be fear-mongering. I'm just saying you better know what you believe and why you believe it, because you're going to get challenged. And you better be ready to stand for it. That's part of what the Spirit does. He helps us with that. But two, in these days, you know, we talk about Jesus coming. We want Jesus to come. But I still know some folks that aren't ready. If the trumpet sounded today, they'd be one of those who didn't go. And I want them to go. So Spirit of God, help us. As we look forward, that Lord, you would pour out a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us. That Lord, again, you would give us your eyes, your sight. That those very people that annoy us, we wouldn't see them according to the way this world looks at people, but we'd see them as you see them, souls who are struggling, souls that are hurting, souls that are deceived, that need the light of the gospel to shine on their hearts, to lead them to the truth. That, Lord, in the days ahead, that you would help us to develop that holy boldness that we need to proclaim the name of Jesus, not to be obnoxious, but that, God, you would help us to open our eyes to see those divine appointments you give to us. That person we just start chatting with in line, waiting to check out. Maybe that's the person that something they say will just trigger with us. This is the person I need to talk to about Jesus today. And trust that, Holy Spirit, you're already at work in their heart. You've already been drawing them. You've already been preparing their hearts to hear that word. And that, Lord, you might use us to plant a seed or water a seed or see you bring that increase through our witness. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for how he works in our lives. Thank you that without him, we can do nothing, but that through him, we have the power to be your witnesses throughout this world and to stand and live for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have your heads bowed and eyes closed just in respect for this moment? Let me ask this first question. If you would happen to be here this morning and you've never truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd just like a chance to pray for you this morning, to receive Jesus as your Savior, to begin this life of as a follower of Jesus. Wait just a moment. Praise the Lord. Second question I want to ask, and I'm going to be the first one to raise my hand, is simply this, that you desire a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God in your life. And that along with me, you will just make a fresh commitment. Lord, my life is yours. Help me to serve you and be your witness by the power of your Spirit. This is our prayer, Lord. Lord, we have family members who don't know you. We have friends that do not know you. We have neighbors that don't know you. We have people that we just bump shoulders with. The clerk at the store. Lord, so many that need to know you. Lord, use us as your witnesses. As we truly do believe, Lord, that the day is coming when a trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be taken out of this world, then who will be here, Lord, to witness to those that we care about? So, Lord, if you should tarry, help us to be those that you will use, that they might hear the message of Jesus. Just as you wait on the Lord, we're going to play this song. Either just continue to talk with the Lord quietly, or you could join in and sing as we sing Holy Spirit.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your outliving hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is seen of the sweetest of loves. Then my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I want to long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just wait in his presence this morning. Sense the Lord would want us to know this morning that we are not to give in to fear, for he does not give us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind, and that he goes before us. He prepares our way for us, but we need simply to listen to his voice. We can trust him. That he will work through us things that we will just sit back and be amazed at. He will work miracles to confirm his word. The harvest field that is white to harvest, that we will see that harvest come in if we will be faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that as we leave this place, we do not leave your presence. May we we leave this day reminded that your Spirit goes with us, for he lives in us. That he will lead us, that he will guide us. That through him we have the power to be able to testify of others to Jesus. That, Lord, we would have the courage and the faith to do that very thing. We love you, Jesus. Go now in your name. Amen.